Well, the word for the day is transformation. That word, I think we're drawn to it. It's what we love to see. It's what we all so much long for. And I think that word shows up so much in the stories maybe that we grew up with, the stories that we've seen, the stories that we've heard. Disney popularized Beauty and the Beast, where a creature that no one could bear to look at is transformed into a handsome prince. It's the outcome that I think we'd all desire in any story. It's the phoenix that rises from the ashes. Cinderella rises from the cinders to become a princess. The ugly duckling becomes a beautiful swan. Pinocchio becomes a real boy. Frog becomes a prince. Scrooge becomes a good and caring man. The cowardly lion gets his courage. Scarecrow gets his brain. The Tin Woodman gets a new heart. And they're all transformed into the very thing they never thought they could be. It's the essential part of any good story. And it is what the story is all about. When Jesus met that night with that man named Nicodemus, Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must be transformed." You open the pages of Scripture, and from the beginning to the end, it's filled with stories of people being transformed. Especially we see those people that have those encounters with Jesus. I guess the question is, would we use that language for ourselves? You know, would we say that we have been transformed? Maybe we would say, well, I've been forgiven. But we'd also agree with Paul, who said, I just don't seem to do the things I really want to do. As a matter of fact, I find myself doing what I don't want to do. The wrong stuff just seems like it just keeps coming up and out. The wrong stuff just seems like it keeps showing up from my heart. The heart. It's the well or the receptacle out of which all things flow. That's been our theme in this series that we've been going through. With the theme verse Proverbs 4:23, where the writer says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Because we know we are not what we were meant to be. We see suffering going on around us. We see things that were never meant to be. Just look around the world. I mean, that's all we've been seeing on the news recently for the last months. It's not what it was intended to be. It was never intended that we would show up to our places of worship and see blue tape around separating us from other people. This is not what it was meant to be. It was not meant to be that way. And the reality is, we need more than just an upgrade. The passage we looked at last week, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So if you say, all right, if that's the reality of my heart, then how in the world is transformation possible? It can almost lead us to just give up. Where's the hope? If that's what it's like. In the stories I mentioned at the beginning, no one transformed themselves. It was an action from someone or something outside of themselves that made the transformation possible in the way that story played out. There is hope, yeah. Transformation can happen. But God transforms. And we've seen it in the stories where a person maybe allows himself to die so others don't have to. Shows up in stories where someone sees something happening and they allow themselves to take something so someone else doesn't have to. See, we rebelled, and the penalty for our rebellion was death. And for God to lose what was To lose us was not his will, was not his desire. So he took it upon himself to come up with a rescue plan, intentionally to put things in motion to save us. So the Son of God came, as it says, to give his life as a ransom for many. So the death of Jesus, the shedding of his own blood, the blood became the payment, the price he paid for us. And on the basis of that, God the Father looks at us and says, "You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You've been pardoned for your sin in thought, word, and deed." So in Christ, we are offered a new nature. We become a new creation. As Paul says, the old has gone, the new has come. Christ now lives in us. Yeah, transformation is possible. And it's God who gives a new heart. Beautiful story. The passage I chose kind of as the text for today is in Ezekiel 36. He begins in verse 24 by saying, "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." He's talking about the restoration, the renewal of his people that had been in captivity. He'll bring the people back. But in order to be brought back into his family, the people need to be cleansed from their sins. God would do it. God would change their hard, unbelieving hearts and soften them with his good words and his message. He would also give them a new desire to live according to his will. He'd bless them and give them everything that they would need. And obviously it was a change so drastic that it could only happen with God's work and doing. See, God is the heart healer. Whenever I've gone to a doctor for a doctor's appointment, you probably all could say the exact same thing. Every time I've ever gone to a doctor, the same thing has always happened. The stethoscope comes out and he listens to my heart. Doctors listen to hearts. They want to listen for something because our hearts matter. Spiritually, it's the same thing. God hears our hearts. He knows what's going on with our hearts. Our hearts matter, and God heals hearts. In Psalm 147:3, it says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Because God is concerned about hearts that are discouraged and broken and wounded from the battle. And it seems like we're all in this battle in this world. Hearts can be broken, most definitely. And you see, when something inside is compelling us to do things we would not want to do, it could indicate a broken heart. And our actions could be attempts to nurse, repair, or hurt, you know, something that's hurt our soul. When Jesus speaks in the Gospels, it's almost like he's just assuming that everyone has a broken heart. It's broken in some way because of things that they've heard, things that they've seen, things they've experienced. So he offers to heal them. The beautiful words of Psalm 23, where God shows himself and Jesus shows himself too, is to be the good shepherd. And it says, "The good shepherd leads his sheep to quiet places so that they can find rest, where they can be renewed or restored." And so Jesus invites us as the good shepherd to go with him. Go with him. Go with him. Spend time in his presence. Because it's there that hearts are healed. Where when good words and healing words are spoken to us, it's where we can say, "All right, God, search me. Search my heart. Know my heart. Let your light shine in my heart. You see, it's so easy to get discouraged. So easy to allow the things going on around us to affect what's going on inside of our hearts. It's easy for me personally to get discouraged at times. If you have Facebook, this is something that comes up often, and I noticed it a lot this past week. You know, the looking back pictures, where all of a sudden it pops up, and 2 years ago today, or 6 years ago today, or 5 years ago today, I was getting that constantly this past week, constantly, and it was kind of neat. And what was showing up on my looking back pictures were pictures from youth mission trips. The last couple weeks of June are typically when we have our mission trips. So there were pictures showing up from Detroit or Chicago or Nashville or Houston or different places that we've been. 30 years ago, this past week would have been was our very first trip we ever took. We were supposed to last week be in Mexico building a house for a family in need. Obviously, we didn't go. The trip had been canceled. It was discouraging. I wanted to be there. Our team wanted to be there. And I was excited because one of the people going was one of the individuals who went on our very first trip 30 years ago, and he was going to be going with his daughter. We weren't able to go. But in my desk, I have a list of all the places we've been and over the years and each year. And I look at that often. And every time I look at that list, I have images of people that we served with and team members that were from this church that we went with. And I look at that and say, yeah, God transforms hearts. Because so many people along the way, I've met people whose hearts had been transformed in some special way. And I got to see hearts transform the lives of students from here that have gone. Over the years, I look back and I reflect on how God has done his own transforming work in my heart and life. Then I show up on a Sunday morning like this, and I look out at the people who are here, and I see testimonies of God's transforming work. Because he's faithful to work through his good words. It's so great to see what God does in a heart and in a life. Good words from God about his son Jesus making their way into the receptacle of our heart, the well of our heart. Seeds planted, germinated, and then bear fruit. See, God heals and transforms when good words and promises replace words and images of discouragement and hurt. We've talked about this over the last couple weeks, where all of a sudden, you know, we hear things, we see things, we experience, and they find their way into the receptacle of our heart. And if it's out of that, that all of a sudden that's where we do things, you can see how things can play out. But to be in a place where our heart can receive good things, good promises, good things from God, it kind of cancels out and moves out the other. We need that. Because Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. God wants to heal hearts, and he truly can. So next week we're going to conclude this series, and the message is going to continue and kind of part two of this theme today, God the Heart Healer. Because here's the thing is, God wants us to be free. He wants us to be free. Because freedom is such a beautiful thing. He wants us to know liberation in our life and what that feels like and looks like and how it's experienced. And it definitely is possible. Transformation is real, and God's the one behind it. So as we wrap that up next week about God truly is the one that can heal hearts, and every single one of us here needs that throughout our lives And God is more than grateful to do his good work in us. So we thank him for that work that he does. And so, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father transform and do that work in you today. Amen.